One, who said it? Well, I'm looking here at my watch, and I was contemplating on what to do here because I know a lot of you cannot wait to go and fellowship and eat one with another, but I can promise you that there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to wrap this up by 12 o'clock today. So the good thing is, if you're going to stay here and eat with us, we're all going to remain in line together, one with another, at our church. I don't want to rush through this. I knew this was going to be a busy day. There was going to be a lot going on, and I tried to condense this message as best I could, but I couldn't. There's so many things that I wanted to share with y'all today, and not just our graduates, but all of us. We all need this. There's no specific Bible verse that says, hey, this is just for graduates only. But today we're going to be reading from Proverbs 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8, and we're going to really study verses 5 and 6 primarily. But we're going to go through these individual verses from Proverbs 3. And graduates, I've already got it marked in your Bibles for you, so you don't have to thumb through to Proverbs. I got it there for you. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8. So out of reverence for God's Word, if you would, please stand and follow along as I read. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. I don't want us to waste any time going into what we need to do today. We want to go in quickly, and I want us to be able to decipher the importance behind these verses today. And I hope that all of you are able to take something from these verses and apply them to your lives. But graduates, I speak to you with great importance, because you're at a juncture in your life where you feel like you can do it all. You've worked hard through high school and through college and attained a master's degree, some of you have here today. And so you've been around, you've lived life, so you think. But let me tell you that there is nothing that school will ever teach you, there's nothing that any college or university will ever teach you than what your parents in this church has shared with you since you were able to adhere and listen. It is that you cannot do anything outside of God. You may be successful for a while on your own, but eventually it's going to come to an end. And I want you to understand and know that this is not to scare you. This is not to intimidate you. And this is to you all here today too. I don't say this to scare you or just to make you frightened. The bottom line is this. You, myself included, we are nothing away from God. We cannot do anything on our own. God has given us the abilities to do all the things that we have done this point in our lives. So it's very important that we understand and know that we have to place trust in God, that we must lean on God, and that we must acknowledge God in every area of our lives. You all are getting ready to go into uncharted waters. Some of you are going to make a maiden voyage, say. And it's new. It's exciting. But at the same time, it's got to be a little anxiousness, a little anxiety, a little apprehension, because you've had a parent, a mother, or a father to kind of coach you along, but now you're getting ready to kind of go out on your own and learn life. But when you go out on your own to learn life, don't learn life in the way the world wants you to learn life. You've got to learn life and live life the way God has mapped out for you. If you don't place your faith and trust in the Lord, it's not going to work. You will fail. You must exhort all biblical knowledge that you've gained up until this time in your life, and then you must transfer that biblical knowledge to a spiritual obedience to God. When you leave from your high school and go to your college, or whether you go out into the workforce, but then I look to our congregation here today, this same thing applies to us. We have to make sure that we take our biblical knowledge that we have gained and that we then exhort the spiritual knowledge that God has given us in our day-to-day lives. Let's look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. This is a simple verse to read, but there are some words there that are very difficult sometimes for us to adhere to. It says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Most of the time, even adults, especially our young people, our teenagers, when you hear the word command or you hear the word law, you want to run and do the opposite of what has been given to you. And that is common. That is your sinful nature, your rebellious nature. But adults, it's the very same thing for you as well. When you have been told that you can't do a specific thing, your inclination to want and your desire to want to do it more is heightened, because you've been told you can't do it. But God wants us to hide His laws and His commandments within our hearts. And if you do this, you're going to be rewarded. You may not see that reward on this side of heaven, but I promise you that if you trust in God and that you place your faith and trust in Him and His laws and His commandments for what He has set forth for you, you will be rewarded. The writer goes on to say in verse 2, he says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now here within this verse, he uses the word length of days. And what this means is whether on earth or in heaven, as the Heavenly Father directs, He does this to His righteous. He makes this promise that He will guard us through our days, earthly or heavenly. But listen to this. The consequences of decisions that we make, contrary to knowing that God has His best interest in heart for you, graduates and all of us here today, contrary to knowing that He has our best interests at heart, the decisions that we make can lead us to a earthly doom much sooner than God had anticipated for your life. The choices that you make will affect your life tomorrow. The choices that you all make today will affect your life tomorrow or down the road. We have to understand and know this, that sure, that little bit of alcohol, that little bit of drug may look fun just for a little bit, but where will it take you? It may last for a while, but where will it take you? We think about the now moment, but we don't think about the outcome of. And so when we begin to go and begin to participate in the things of this world, and we're not doing the things that God has intended for us to do, yes, we can cut our lives short. The decisions that we make can cut our lives short. And we can go through the obituaries just in Lancaster County alone, and we have great evidence of that. We see many young children, young men and women whose lives have been taken away abruptly because of the fact they chose for just that one moment in time to risk it all for a drug, just for a little high that would only last momentarily. We've got to understand and know, men and women, mothers and fathers, grandparents here today, that we've got to do our very best to educate. We cannot hate the individual for the choices that they make. We hate the sin in which they're living in, but we cannot ever hate the person who's participating. We've got to love them. We've got to show them that there is a better way, and that God will provide that outlet. God will provide you that escape to be able to go and walk away from. I know it's difficult. Peer pressure is difficult. Peer pressure is not just at the teenage level, the college level. Peer pressure follows you wherever you go, no matter if you're 30, no matter if you're 40 or 70 or even 80. Peer pressure is going to always exist. Do you want your days to be lengthened? Do you want God's hand to be upon you to lead and to guide and to direct you? I sure hope you do. Just as living by these very divine principles that has been set forth of us in verse number 2, it's by the very nature that God wants to protect us. He has our best interests at heart. The term long life, it literally means years of life. This conveys the idea of materialistic prosperity. God wants us to have a long life. That's His desire. He wants us to live a fruitful and productive life in the name of who He is within your own life. Not living a productive life through the ways of the world. And the very last term used in this verse is the word peace. And this word peace is deep, and it is a broad meaning. But basically what it means is wholeness or safeness. When you feel that peace with a loved one, you girls who are here today, you probably feel a great peace when you are holding your daddy's hand. And I know without making you daddies upset and crying this morning, but I'm sure you can remember the times as your little girl was growing up and she would hold on to daddy's hand so very tight. There was peace there. There was comfort there. There was safety there because they knew that my daddy's got me. And just as strong as that grip is that your daddy has for you now, the Heavenly Father's grip is even greater. It's even stronger. It's even more secure. And it's even filled with more love than your earthly father and your earthly mother could ever bestow upon you. God alone can bestow that peace. God alone can give everything in your life meaning. And I know at this age that you're in now, you may be thinking, you may be asking, what am I to do with my life? What am I to do? I don't have any meaning within my life. I don't have any purpose within my life right now. And you may feel that way, and that's common. Adults, don't you admit that even in your age that you are now, that you may feel that way as well? Sometimes you feel that you are not doing what God has led you to do or needs you to do, and you don't feel that you're fulfilling the role that God has laid out. But God will bless you. He will bestow His blessings upon you. He wants you to have a well-being about your life that can only be given to you from God. To have a well-being in God means to be healthy, free from threat or need, thus being fulfilled, being content, being prosperous, and at peace in a way that only God can provide. Psalms 4:8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalms 119, 165 reads, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. That's important for you all to know that you must have great peace. And the only way that you can find that great peace is by knowing God's laws and His commandments for your life. Moving on to verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Meaning, take them with you everywhere you go. Wear them around your neck. Hide them in your heart so that you'll never forget where you came from. Does that mean that you're going to remain at Sand Hill Baptist after you graduate from college? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But we hope and pray that what has been instilled in your lives since you were born and raised at this church, that you remember that God is the one who makes life possible. That you can find great peace in God and God alone. God wants His children to remain loyal. He wants His children to remain faithful. We use the word children, but it doesn't matter what age you are. You are a child of God, whether you're 20, whether you're 80. If you're a born-again believer in God, you are still considered a child of the one true King. He wants us to be loyal and faithful. These are great godly characteristics that all of us should exude. We should want people to see our loyalty, and we should want people to see our faithfulness to one another, but more importantly, to God. This type of behavior shows an infidelity and a wickedness when you choose to live the way of Satan. And that's what Satan wants from you. Especially now that you're going out into the world and you're going to begin to really taste that sense of freedom. Satan's thinking that I'm going to get them right where I want them. And that's what he wants from you. He wants to take you away from God's people. He wants you to take you away from God's world. He wants you to be the exact opposite of who God has made you to be. God wants you to be loyal and faithful. Satan does not. He wants you to have great infidelity and wickedness. He wants you to have great malice towards all people. We can see these issues that go on in our country today. High school after high school, we've just seen over the last 7 days of these shootings. I don't care what your stance is on gun control or not, but if these individuals do not get God in their heart, it doesn't matter what weapon of choice they choose. That is the problem with society. There is no God in our schools. And sadly enough, many of these homes, there is no God in the home. These children stand no chance. Satan loves to see great malice. He loves to see the evil within one's eyes. But God shows us that He is great peace, that He is great love. He wants you to be loyal. He wants you to be faithful. Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Could you imagine if we truly loved our neighbors as we love ourselves? How great of a world this would be. But that day is coming. This world that we know will pass by, but that day will come when we will all be able to live together one with another in one joyous accord. As children of God, you should make these commandments part of your daily life. You should make these commandments a permanent characteristic of who you are, both externally and internally. And when you apply these characteristics within your life, externally and internally, that will allow you to be greatly blessed and will lead you to a life of pure, eternal glory through Jesus Christ. Looking at verses 5 and 6, they're very renowned verses for teaching anyone the importance of trusting God. For you graduates here today, some of you may question yourself, or the question may be pondering within your own very mind, what should I major in? Whom should I date? Should I date? And then one day it'll lead you to the question of whom should I marry? Are the behaviors and choices in my life pleasing in God's sight? How should I live my life to represent God daily? Am I fully trusting God to lead me? Do others see Jesus in me? Or do they see I try to serve two masters, God and Satan? Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches. If we place trust in anything or anyone other than the Lord, you will fail. Isaiah 30:12-13 reads, "Therefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach and ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant." These very verses of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 express a firm warning and give us a gracious assurance so that we can see the reward of trusting in the Lord. God created you, me, all of us. He created us to have full dependency upon Him. Let's look at those verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Even in the ordinary things of life, God wants to be a part of. The mundane things of life, he wants to be a part of. The secular decisions of life, the spiritual decisions of life, God wants to be a part of them. He wants you to come unto him. God's desire is to want to know you more. And he wants you to want to know him more. Very important. God is always there, ready to lend a helping hand, a lended ear, great spiritual advice and direction. But we, unfortunately, are not always willing to do that. So looking at these verses 5 and 6, we see the importance of trusting and leaning and acknowledging. But I want to briefly talk about the fall. And the fall being what triggered man to seek out independent living from God. The fall. This very same human independence continues at the hearts of mankind today. When Adam made that terrible decision thousands of years ago, it affected all of us today. The independent desire to do it our way is the definition of rebellion. This is when we attempt to lean on our own understanding. For God to direct your path, you must already be adhering to His will. That's what's very important. You can't just wake up one morning and say, "God, I need you to direct my path." You've got to already have that relationship with Him. You've got to already be in a position of obedience to Him so that He can direct your path. You cannot just all of a sudden decide, "I want to submit to you, God, now, but you know, maybe later I'm going to go back and live the way that I want to live. I'm going to go back and live the ways of the world." It doesn't work that way. If you want to be in the center of God's will, you've got to be willing to trust, lean, and acknowledge on God and God alone, not any earthly knowledge that you've ever gained. Proverbs 6:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." How many of you pray before you take a big exam? Of course, I hope you do. Because let me tell you, every bit of knowledge that you've gained, it's not because your parents are just that smart or your grandparents were just that intelligent. It is a blessing that God has already bestowed upon your mind. I can tell you that Robert Michael, I don't have a clue where he got his smarts from, because he's already smarter than his daddy. And so it wasn't from me. It's been a blessing to God, to Robert Michael from God. And so everything that you have has been given to you because God wants you to have it. He wants you to use it. And you need to allow Him to use you. Commit your work to the Lord and He will establish your ways. When you begin to depend on your own understanding and your own self-proclaimed knowledge, basically what you're doing is saying, God, I don't need your help. God, I do not need your advice. God, I do not need you. And God, I want to do it my way. How selfish of us. God is there to provide. He is there to lead us down a road of righteousness, but we'd rather do it our own way. The guidance given within verses 5 and 6 should be applied to our lives daily. And that word used in verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That means everything that you do, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. This expressive term includes not only the growth of learning, but also the practical and the logical action based upon one's academic knowledge. Understanding, knowing that everything that you have obtained to this point is because God has blessed you with it, that God has given you this wonderful knowledge. All that you have is because God has bestowed His knowledge upon you. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him, listen to these words, with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. So that means everything that's in your heart, every thought that you've ever had, God understands them. He knows them. He knows your intentions. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. These are not my words. These are the words of the true and living God. If you forsake Him, He will cast you out forever. Verse 7 goes on to say, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is very great insight for you and for me and for anyone who's willing to understand and know that they cannot, should not, ever try to make life on their own. Turn away from evil. Trust in the Lord, and this will lead you to repentance. And I can go ahead and tell you the best thing to do to abstain from those things of the world is do your very best to pick your friends and to pick your friends wisely. That peer pressure will follow you everywhere you go. Turn away from evil. Trust in the Lord, and He will lead you to repentance. However, this takes a great act of submission. This requires great humility. And this is one trait that many are lacking. When you hear the word submission, you think weak. But humility is such a very powerful characteristic, a God-given trait that all of us should carry. Great humility in knowing that we must submit ourselves to God. That we must understand and know that we must submit ourselves to Him so that He will lead us and that He will guide us. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And we're looking at our closing verse today, verse 8. This verse, though, reiterates everything that we've discussed in verses 1 through 7 to this point. When we adhere to God's directions for our lives, it will be of great benefit to our bodies, to the very marrow of our bones. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Listen to Proverbs 1, verse 7. This is a warning. Verse 7 of Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But listen to this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's plain and simple here. If you choose not to adhere to God's voice and God's direction in your life, it tells us right here, you are a fool to despise God's wisdom. Remember that you don't have to adhere to the ways of the world. you can adhere to God. These three simple words of trust, lean, and acknowledge. Simple words to read, simple words for you to understand and to remember. But the task to live this way is not always easy, especially when you're trying to make it on your own. God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to lean on Him as a crutch. He's there for your support. And when you do this, this is for all of us here today, when we trust in Him and when we lean on God, we are then submitting ourselves through our humility and giving up our pride and acknowledging that we are in need of a Savior. He has great things for you. He wants to bestow His blessings and His mercy upon you all. And I've already said this morning, the diploma that you are going to receive, of course it's important. Higher education, of course it's important. Being productive citizens of this world is very important. But when your life is over, when it is all said and done, and you're looking at Jesus Christ and He's asking you, if you are a faithful servant of His, and He's going back through your life, He's going to want to know, He's going to ask you your personal opinion. Did you trust in God? Did you lean on God? And did you acknowledge God? That's what matters. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this glorious day. Father, this is a joyous time for our graduates, but God, I do not want them to think for one moment that just this graduation in itself is just important and that's it in their lives, Father. God, I pray that they seek Your counsel every single day that You give them breath on this earth. God, I pray that they seek Your will for their life. So, God, that You can lead them down the path that You want them to go so they can be greater citizens for Your heavenly kingdom. So they can reach out to this lost and dying world, Father, and show others that, yes, there are some fun things in this world. But, oh, God, how great will the reward truly be when we realize that how great is our God and that You, Father, make all things possible. Lord, I do pray a special blessing on these graduates and their families, and this church family, God. May these individuals understand and know that we're always going to be here for them. God, if they make a mistake, Lord, may they understand and know that we're not here to judge, God, but we're here to love them through it, to let them know, God, that we still love them and we care for them. And Lord, that there's no other way than to turn our lives completely over to You, Father. God, we thank You for this glorious day, Father. May we trust, may we lean, and may we acknowledge You in all facets of our lives. In the most precious name given among men, whereby you must be saved, the precious name of Jesus. Amen.